Welcome to the Marketing and Other Markets podcast with me, Matt Moskow. This is a podcast for real estate industry professionals or doers. Each episode will feature an interview with a top producer or someone who's doing things differently in an exciting way. For those who already know me or have read my books and blogs, my brand of marketing is tangible and repeatable because we don't all need to reinvent the wheel. Every episode, my promise to you is that you will leave with at least one tangible idea that you can execute on today. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to the newest episode of Marketing in Other Markets. Today, I'm really excited to introduce to you Chastity Rosales with Preferred Closing Specialists, Keller Williams Realty in El Paso, Texas. I met Chastity through the Lab Coat Agents Group, actually. I did a post asking who are the agents around the country doing something really cool that I should know that would have a good story to tell for the podcast. And I got a bunch of people who connected me with Chastity and says, you have to meet this woman. So Chastity, welcome to the show. I'm really excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much for allowing us to have the opportunity.
Yeah, so we talked on the phone last week. I was able to get to know you as well as someone can in a half an hour phone call. And I think the one thing that really stood out to me the most is that you pivoted into real estate from an already successful career in the military. And so I just wanted to first say thank you for your service to our country. But what was your role in the military before you got in? What was like the rank that you are now or that you were before?
I am still in the reserves. I've been in the reserves 25 years. I've always been a reservist, and I'm a command sergeant major.
Command sergeant major. And so as a reservist, I mean, what is the commitment on that you have to make, and how does that affect how you then are able to plan out the rest of your job as a real estate agent?
Well, traditionally as a reservist, we do just 1 week in a month and 14 days in the summer. So 14 straight days, we call it our annual training, just to take care of trainings that you can't necessarily do during the year. But as a command sergeant major, I'm a leader of a battalion. So that's when they need you. Yeah. It's all the time. I feel like I have a second full-time job.
Well, and I think
I think
the interesting thing is, it seems like from our conversation, a huge portion of your business has always come from your military connections. I mean, are you meeting? I mean, I feel like these opportunities for you to be a leader is a great way for you to meet other people. Is that true? Does it work like that?
It does when you're able to meet in person with people, right? So as reservist, it's not like active duty where you're around military people every day that you can network with every day and with your peers. So as a reservist, my peers, other command sergeant majors, are spread out all across the United States. And so it's not like we're together like they are. And then with COVID, of course, we weren't having in-training leadership meetings or any of that stuff. It was all on Zoom. And I was just promoted to that rank in November. And so I've yet to be in person in an event where I could network with like peers yet. But of course, just being in the military over time, making friends, you know, through those associations, of course, we have that. And then military spouses, you know, my husband's prior service. And so we network a lot with the military spouses here.
Okay.
And around other places. And then actual, you know, real estate agents that are military spouses or prior service that, you know, we all help each other a lot.
I love that. And I think it seems like one of those things where everyone in the military is very, very close knit. Even if you don't know someone, you kind of have that connection. And I think it's a great way to imbue trust, right? Like, you've served our country, I trust you. And so when I'm looking for someone to help buy or sell real estate, you already start at that position of leadership and trust. And I just wanted to say thank you for that. But also, I think people out there need to remember that building trust with clients and figuring out what assets you bring from your former career and how you can pivot that into real estate and relationships, it's the key whenever you're in a sales-based career. So Chastity, tell us, like, for everyone out there, what kind of business are you doing, and how long have you been in the business?
I've been doing this almost 8 years. I started in 2014, right when I was on active duty at the time, because I've been mobilized on active duty in support of different campaigns several times. But I started it actually in 2014 was my first year. Always been with Keller Williams. I was rookie of the year first year. I did about 6.8 million in volume the first year. And that was our market at the time. Our average price range was $140,000. It was crazy. You could get a great house for that here. And
Definitely. I mean, I feel like you just made everybody salivate, right? Like, A, a market that
I
actually
know.
has houses, and B, houses for that cheap. Sign me up.
We still have houses for resales you can buy for that, so that's awesome. But and then, you know, I was an Army leader at the time. I just came off of a first sergeant duty, and we were replacing our team leader, our CEO at Keller Williams at the time. So the operating principal approached me to interview for that position, and I was like, oh, I don't know. You know, I've always been really, really frugal with money and very careful, you know, with spending money. Commission work was so out of
it's
my
scary.
Comfort zone. And so, yeah, it was. It was like scary, but, you know, I had been government work before. So before even being on active duty as a reservist, right, I worked for the federal government as a federal civilian. So, you know, either military or federal civilian, you're getting your paycheck the 1st and 15th. You know, it's safe. And I always played it safe with money. I didn't come from a lot of money. And so, you know, I just didn't ever want to be in a place that I didn't have, you know, to provide for my kids. And me and my husband are blended family. We have 4 kids.
Okay. So you sold real estate first, did about $6 million, and then they approached you to be a team lead?
Yep. And then I did that whole thing. I got hired, tripled almost everything for our market center, and I did it just under 2 years, and, you know, was going to Keller Williams International, meeting all amazing agents like, you know, the Ben Kinneys that lead our industry, and hearing him speak and how he was building this, you know, as a business, I was like, oh, no, wait a minute. No, I don't want to be a team leader anymore. I want to go back and start a team and grow my own business. And so I came back and told our OP, I was like, I'm so sorry, but yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. And he was like, oh my God, what will it take to stay? And I'm like, nothing. You know, I got in this to build my business. And, you know, at the time they were like, oh, you can have a team, you can do this. No, because it's not the right thing to do, because one of our businesses is not going to get the same amount of attention. It's not going to be mine.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like there's a theory called the pumpkin patch theory. And the idea is, like, you got to look at the things in your life where when you water them, when you give them nutrients, they're going to grow to the biggest state. And so it sounds like you were able to say, hey, I'm doing great at both of these things, but where do I want to focus the majority of my efforts so that my most important thing can grow to the biggest size it can possibly grow to?
Yeah, that's a great analogy, which we'll get into on my military career, right? Because you, as a civilian warrior, you have to manage both sides of that. And I didn't apply for any sergeant major positions for a long time because I knew I couldn't handle that and be a great leader on that side while building my real estate team, which is why I kind of kept putting that off. But fast forward, you know, I learned a ton as a team leader. I was so thankful for that experience. It made me such a more confident business owner. And then when I went back into working on my team, I had got my husband licensed because I was giving away so much business, because as a team leader, you don't do production. Keller Williams is different from other franchises and brokerages in that in most of those, the broker is also the owner and they're also the non-competing entity in most cases. But at Keller Williams, you have two. You have a broker who's an agent just like the rest of us, and they're there for compliance and be the broker. But you have the CEO or team leader, they use both terminologies, that actually is the non-competing entity that runs the business. And so it taught me a ton, and I went back. I got it, but we can't sell, so I gave it all to my husband. And then I went back in. It was March. I jumped back in 2 years later in March. Don't get me on the years. I'm going to hold us up. But I sold like 58 homes from March to the end of that year, being out of business 2 years, just jumping back in.
That's amazing.
And then the following year is when we kind of started focusing on building a foundation for a team, because we just wanted to have some more leverage. We wanted to, you know, be able to help people build a bigger life, because we're both teachers at heart. And so our first year as a team, we had we started with 2 brand new agents. So most of the year, it was just me and those 2 brand new agents. And towards the end of that year, we got a 3rd brand new agent that was a military spouse that we had sold a house to, that wanted to be in real estate, and somehow equated that being on my team. And she just showed up one day and was like, yeah, I'm here to work. And I'm like, okay, let's go, you know? And so we couldn't say no. And we brought her on, and she was actually the rookie of the year that year. I've grown a rookie of the year every year I've had a team. And so I'm loving keeping that tradition made. And so our first year we closed 191 with us, with three of us. And my husband was doing the op stuff and everything in the background, CMAs, going to do videos for remote clients, if I, you know, anything I needed, really, like my personal assistant. And then COVID hit, right? Our going into our second year, and those agents we had the first year all quit and left. You know, pandemic brings different emotions out of people, and felt like they needed to be on their own, and they went off and on their own. So in the middle of a pandemic and a whole brand new team change, because we had just added two brand new admin folks, because we have one for the listing side, one for the buyer side. We closed 213 transactions our second year with even all of that going on.
So that would have been 2020? Like 40.
Yep, last year was our second year as a team, and we did 213, 43 million in volume, I think.
And I think you told me on our last call that your average price point in that 40 million was $185,000.
Yeah, we grind. I remember I was telling you that I was on the phone with my friend, and she sold like 20 homes, and her volume was like 48 million, and I sold 213 homes, and my volume was 43 million.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, one of the things we see time and time again is, you know, we've been talking to agents, learning their, you know, success secrets for the past 10 years or so, and the people that do these big unit numbers, the sky's the limit, because all of these people are going to come back to you 3 to 4 years from now in this market, 1 year from now, because they're buying houses that they're not absolutely in love with, and they're buying for a little bit more every time. But when you get these clients and you treat them well and you get them to be your clients for life, I mean, every single transaction you're working on is also, it's a paycheck now, but it's investment for the future. Your database gets one step bigger. And so it's just such an important thing is the number of units you work on. Because it will really feed you 10 years down the road.
Yeah, it definitely will. And that's where we come up to some of the things that you love that I told you that we were doing to stay engaged with clients, and how, I mean, we just really love on them, because in real estate, that is how you get your, you know, referral business, and referrals are your butter.
So I know I asked you this before, but let's tell everyone out there. So are people just calling you because you're awesome and you have billboards everywhere, or are they calling you? Like, how are you prompting them to call you? Is it letters, postcards, emails, phone calls, events? Like, walk us through the things that you're doing to stay in touch with your clients that's prompting those phone calls.
Well, we are awesome, so we do get some just calls.
You gotta stand up for yourself. We are just awesome.
We do run a lot of Facebook ads. I have a Facebook manager guy that has a really creative way of marketing our listing, so that when they click on it, we capture them and we start talking to them. And yes, it's between us and a bot. I mean, that's nothing new.
Yeah.
But his just gives you just more ability to communicate and be able to talk to them. So we get that. And we use Boomtown as our contact management system and our lead system. Mm-hmm. And so we have a little funnel system where we're using the Facebook ads from Boomtown and the Facebook ads in Command, because the ones in Command have a little bit more power behind them for some other things. And so we make that all funnel into Boomtown so we can capture their data to reach out to them. And so that's one way we do it. Another way, and where I get most of my business, is through agent referrals. Other agents that are, you know, within the military community around other military installations. And we have very intimate groups, you know, on Facebook and training groups and different things, where we really are all a really tight-knit community. Now, the thing is sometimes is the battle of the community, right? Because there's more than one Chastity veteran in El Paso, right? There's a ton of military veterans. We're a military town. And so, you know, sometimes you're fighting to win the battle. I call it the Battle of Bliss, because we're at Fort Bliss, to win that lead. And so what we do well is when we're at all these, we purposely go on training events. I mean, the year before COVID, I think we spent $50,000 in training. That's with the travel, the event, everything, you know, all the expenses. Is we truly believed that we are better. We don't succeed alone. We go and we learn from other people. You know, if I might go to a mega agent's office for 3 days and shadow them and listen to them and, you know, take what works for us and come back. And, you know, Keller Williams has two great big events a year, and we network like crazy with our military population there. And so a lot of those referrals come from there.
Well, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop you there because you just mentioned something that we've been doing for years, and it's one of the most impactful things we do. And you mentioned that a couple times a year you go to visit another office, another real estate office somewhere else that's not in your area. And we've been doing the same thing. It's kind of where you get new ideas, right? It seems sometimes like if you stay doing your thing, doing your 150 to 500 transactions with your team and your market, you don't always get new ideas, and you don't always think about how to do things differently. But there's no reason anyone out there can't find another great agent on Instagram or Facebook in some other market and arrange to go and bring your team there for 2 days, or just your team lead there for 3 days, and just soak it up. Learn about what they do. You're not there to teach them, but you know, sure, they can ask you questions, but I absolutely love that you guys are doing that. And I think that is a tangible tip that anyone out there can utilize. Make an appointment with someone else in a different market and learn. I absolutely love that you said that. Thank you, Chastity.
Yeah, and but if you're a new agent, there's value to learning somebody in your market. The only problem is that, you know, every other brokerage isn't like Keller Williams that they teach you. And I'm not plugging Keller Williams. I just know that, and that's what I've learned, and I've experienced that it's not always the same value in dealing with other people. Is a lot of people aren't forthcoming in their own market with things that they're doing to be successful because they feel you're a threat and you're going to take business from them. But in most all markets, there's enough business for everybody. And so you have to come from contribution. Yeah. You got to come from contribution and help those, you know, older agents help newer agents. You know, a newer agent can come to our office that's new to ours, and I'll tell them everything I do, because 9 out of 10 people aren't going to do what you do. So you can tell your secrets all day long, but they got to go grind. And if they're not willing to grind like you, they're not taking business from you. It's okay. Everybody's financial temperature is different.
Well, I mean, I hope that all my competitors out there are listening to this podcast, and I'm happy to give away all my secrets and your secrets, because like you just said, not everyone's going to do it, but it's a great way to develop a killer reputation in the industry. And I mean, I'm sure the market in Texas is just as hot as the market is here in Grand Rapids where I am. And one of the things we've noticed is all those agents who for 10 years and the lenders who for 10 years were out there at networking events, developing great rapport with all of their other industry colleagues, not surprisingly, those are the people getting offers accepted right now in this competitive market.
Yeah. Who does people work with? What's the number one reason statistics tell us that people choose you to work with?
People that you like.
People you like. So if you know and like an agent that you know is a grinder like you and that can get you to closing, because anybody can sell a house in this market. It cracks me up when people are still posting, I just sold this house in 24 hours. All of us are, you know, but did it close? How many times did it take you to get to closing? Because we just had one on another side that we wanted to deal to. It was under contract 3 times. Well, if you'd have just taken mine the first time, we'd be closed by now.
But you should put a billboard up in your area that just says, you should have just taken mine the first time.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, it's one thing that you can get it under contract. It's another to be able to hurdle all the obstacles that come up. And especially now, you know, nowadays, our job, I hate it when people say, I'm just a realtor. You're not just a realtor. You're an advisor and an advocator for somebody buying the most important investment of their life or selling the most important investment of our life. And if that doesn't scare you, you might be in the wrong business, because it needs to scare us all, even the ones that's been doing this. And make sure that you are building your toolkit every day to make sure that you are helping these families make the right decisions. Because in fact, we're not just unlocking homes and being a nice little showcase model or writing a contract. You have to know the title process, the insurance process, the lending process, the different kind of loans, because your client trusts you. You're the person attached and tethered to that client. And so they're going to ask you, what do you think? You don't have to be a subject matter expert, but you need to know enough that if you see something that looks wrong, that not is not beneficiary to your client, that you need to say, hey, that number don't look like it goes there. You need to call the lender and say, why is this number there? Or why are you charging me for interest rate you didn't tell me you were charging me for? Because, right, those, you know, we got some lenders out there notorious for advertising these low interest rates, but they fail to tell them they're paying for that interest rate. And the most agents don't know the difference, and most agents don't care to know the difference. They just want to show up, sell the house, least amount of work, get their check, and move on. And, you know, they don't build relationships with that client. It's just like a revolving door.
If you're building, that doesn't sound like a type of business that most of us would even want, but it's so interesting that so many people go after the numbers and the transactions versus learning it, doing a good job, and getting those clients for life.
Yeah, and then getting repeat business, so you're not out every day. You know, it's like I tell my husband, starting to work with a client is like being at the bottom of a mountain and you're digging and climbing every day. And if you're just trying to find a lead here or there, you're digging and scratching. What if you give amazing service, network with other agents, and created a business that automatically fed you while you also lead generate and add that as another method to get business? And how would it look if you got all the spokes on the bicycle wheel working for you in your business?
We always say that everybody on the team has to be rowing in the same direction, and everyone needs to be working towards the same goal, and the rising tide raises all ships. I think that not only works like on your team, but at your brokerage and then in the industry overall. You know, Chastity, another thing you mentioned to me the other day that I really, really liked is that you guys do a great job of using your own clients as ammunition to generate more leads. And I know you kind of mentioned to me where your last couple of deals had come from situations like that. Could you walk the everyone out here through how you're able to get more business from your current clients, signs, et cetera?
Just by, you know, staying in a relationship with them. I mean, when military families come here, 9 out of 10 of them do not have friends, right? Those spouses. And so I am naturally a connector just by personality. And so I love to connect people. And so we do a lot of events to connect them. And I have a private Facebook, like just chat group that I put them in when they move here. And we all just share, you know, if we need something or if we need a babysitter or we need to know where a doctor is or we need advice for something. We have these wonderful group of women that are there to support each other. And so we're purposeful about doing events that connect these women and men, if it's, you know, the mom is serving or the wife is serving. But we do events to connect them so they have a support group here. And then, like, during the pandemic when they couldn't get out, I mean, I've sold a lot of houses to them in our neighborhood. We have a pool. And so we opened up our pool to, you know, those past clients. And we said, hey, bring your kids. Get them out the house. Come swim. We kept our pool heated every day of the pandemic so that anytime somebody texts us and said, we need to get out the house, you know, they came over here and swam, and we worked during the pandemic. I mean, Texas was awesome because they made us an essential work personnel. And so there was only 3 days of the pandemic we did not work. And that was the 3 days they were trying to figure out what we were going to be able to do. And so I just said, hey, just text me, go in the side gate and help yourself. And, you know, the pool was on for them every day for whoever wanted to come. Or, you know, I've babysat for some of my clients, or, you know, we've taking them food if they're sick. You know, we've sent them soup. There's this company that sends soup in the mail. It's an amazing company. You know, we'll send
What's
them
the
soup. I have to text it to you. It's Comfort something. Soup for the Soul or something.
Yeah, text it to me later and I'll add it in post-production.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's funny. I mean, you mentioned inviting people over to use your pool, and I don't think many realtors would do that. But, I mean, talk about going deep with clients. I'm sure all of us have some type of assets or something about our house or something about our car or something about where we live or what we do that we could use to go deeper with our clients. Chastity's happens to be a pool, which is really exciting. I don't know that my wife would invite my clients over to use our hot tub, but you never know. But, you know, for everyone out there, think about the assets that you do have. We had a guy on the podcast 2 months ago who has a helicopter, and he will take clients out for a celebration ride in the helicopter after he closes a deal with them, and he loves it, and he's passionate about it, and it's just one way to go deeper. So if everyone out there can just think about how you can go deeper with these clients without necessarily having to spend thousands of dollars, we're all going to be better served in the real estate industry.
Yeah, it's just coming from contribution. Don't force it. All of us have natural abilities that come to us naturally. Somebody may be an artist, so you may be able to draw something for them. Or, you know, I Facebook friend just all the clients I want to keep up with. And if you just, you know, you can build different groups that you can watch, because you can't keep up with everybody if you got 2,000 friends. But you watch those groups, and these, you know, they're posting. Your clients are posting what's going on in their life. You know, I had one that their grandpa died. We sent them a card. You know, I'm so sorry about your grandpa. You know, that's not stuff they would normally tell us, but if you're purposely finding ways like that you can keep up without them even knowing, you can send them a card. Or, you know, one spouse got a raise on her job. We saw that. It was a big deal. It was a position she'd been gunning for a year. We sent her, a big old celebration thing to say, hey, congratulations. That's so awesome. We're so proud of you. She never expected that to come in the mail. They don't know we're just watching and looking for ways to, you know, help celebrate and just say, and we genuinely enjoy it. I don't do it. I never do it with give me business intent. I do it because I love to celebrate people. I love to, you know, give back to those, because at the end of the day, they chose me to do business, and we made a lot of money off of them. Real estate agents make a lot of money, and you can fight me on that all day long. Any of you out there, I challenge it. We make a lot of money for what we do. So why not go to extra miles? I mean, for what you give based on what you make, that's a little bit to just, you know, order you some personalized cards off of Vistaprint and send it. And then I told you, remember in the beginning, when we close a deal, my admin writes 4 cards. They write a 30-day congrats checking in card. They write a birthday card. They write a first-year home anniversary card. And they write a Christmas card. And that goes in a box. That the prospective folder, based on the timeline, those need to go out. And they just, every first of the month, they grab those out of the folder and they throw them in the mailbox. There's just little things. I know a lot of people usually send out cards and things. If I'm already paying somebody in my office to do it, I'm not paying another service. It's just too easy to have systems in place that can do this for you, that it just makes it cheaper.
And I think that's an easy one out there for anyone that has a team. I mean, like, put a system in place so that the people on your team, maybe not every day is the busiest day ever, put tasks out there like cards and thank yous and social media monitoring that people can do in the downtime that then gets mailed out at the appropriate time. I mean, leverage your team's time wisely. That's it. That's a great idea. Thank you.
And if you heard them say something, right, like I've heard my clients say, oh, I'm having surgery in 2 months. Well, 2 months might be after we close. So I immediately, anything I hear important them say, I immediately put it in my calendar to remind me, hey, send them a card or a call to check on them. Mm-hmm. It's just being attentive and just coming from contribution, because what I've learned is if you just come from contribution and from a giving place, you're never worried about money, because you're going to make it, because they're going to refer you. And then it just comes naturally. And so I encourage you all to build some kind of touch system. If you don't have it, you're missing an opportunity. I mean, because it's a huge number. I don't remember the data, but what is it? Upwards of 80-some% of people said they would use their agent again.
If they remember
but
them.
Only 11%. Yeah, but only 11% do, because you don't keep in touch with them. So, hello?
Hello. It's
is
not
it
only
worth
fun,
a 45-cent card? What is a stamp these days?
probably 49 cents, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the themes that you've really touched on a couple times, not only with the military work that you do, but with the mailers that you do and the other touch points, is that you listen to people, you listen to your clients, you listen to what's happening in the community, and use that as a trigger point to do something cool. And I think too many people in our industry get caught up on the idea of like, well, I would have called them, or I would have emailed them, or I would have done something, but I didn't know what to say. And by simply being a great listener, by simply checking out their social media, what they've done recently, you can figure out how your conversation is going to go and figure out a topic that you know they will find interesting, or that you know they'll be amused by simply being a good listener. I think that's something that a lot of salespeople forget sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you don't even have to be salesy. During the pandemic, we made care calls, and we would just send out, you know, I would just send out emails. I would send, call them all, you know, you can drop a call. You don't have to call 300 people, all 300. I'd say, who is your top 10 best clients? That's who you should be calling every month, the people that refer you the most. But the others, there's other ways you can do it, through cards, through emails, through these voicemails you can just drop on their phone. We just said, hey, this is Chastity. If you need anything, if you need, your kid needs to print something, you need a copy, if you're struggling and you need food, whatever you need, the PCS team is here to help you in any way we can. Even if we don't have the resource, we will find a resource. And we were very purposeful of always keeping up with government resources that were available, or any news with the pandemic, we would send that out. I mean, it looks different based on what's going on. We weren't sending out market data reports during a pandemic. We were sending out, these are links to food pantries. These are links to pay your bills if you're out of work. these are links, you know, for food. We can bring you food, you know, and then, of course, we're always looking for ways in our community to, you know, help those that are less fortunate, whether it's, you know, the child shelter or we see a spouse on those spouse Facebook page struggling that month because, you know, they had an extra expense they didn't know. And so we'll just private message them, ask them what they need, and we either Venmo them money or we just go drop off what they need. And so it's just really, and, you know, a lot of people aren't made up like that. A lot of people haven't been taught. It's a value thing to me. But it doesn't mean you're not a good person or you're not something. You just may have to reward that in and teach yourself that value.
Yeah, and everything is a habit. Once you start doing something and once you start to get some of that enjoyment out of it and you get to see some of the results and things you're creating in the community, it becomes a lot easier. So if you haven't tried a lot of these kind of altruistic activities, it not only feels good, but it works. So there's a double yeah. reason to do it for anyone out there that's looking for a way to give back to the world. Well, Chastity, go ahead.
I want to tell you one more thing we're doing because what's been popular during the pandemic, if you've ever been, you don't have to be Colleen's agent to go to Bold. Bold is a training we do every year, but during Bold, you know, we do the Bold 100. Well, you know, you've seen a lot of the reverse Bold 100s going on where we have them call into you and they win a prize.
Oh, no, I haven't. So you're incentivizing your clients to call into you?
Right. So instead of you calling 100 people, you're trying to get 100 people call you, and you're using a big ticket item as a prize to give away, right? If you call in to register, you're just calling in to register. Call in to register to win this prize, and just by being a past client, you get an entry. If you've given us a referral in the past year, you get an entry. If you give us a referral on the phone, you get an entry. And there's different ways that they get multiple entries. If you share, something on your Facebook page with our info, you get an entry. We have to confirm it, but you get an entry. So we're doing it for Mother's Day this year, and we're giving away the brand new spring edition Louis Vuitton big tote bag. It's a $3,000 bag.
My wife will be calling in tomorrow.
So, you know, that, I mean, and our partners help with us, like our vendors. I mean, you don't have to do all this alone. I mean, if you've given business to title and lenders and, you know, home warranty companies and inspection companies, they need to help you. I mean, this is, everybody benefits from the business you have. And so our vendors know to work with us that we do two big events a year to ask for support. And then we also support local charities throughout, like the bag drives or different things or charity event drives. And that those things are important to us. And to be in business with us, you have to support those things or we choose somebody else to be in business, right? It's teaching people how to treat you and expectation management.
Yeah, it's getting people all going in the same direction and letting them know what it takes to be a part of your team.
Yep.
Well, Chastity, I think you've given us all hundreds of ideas that I think everyone out there can put some action behind and start to generate some business with. We appreciate your time today and we look forward to chatting with you again.
All right. I appreciate, again, the opportunity. And if y'all need anybody in El Paso, Texas, or if any of you have any questions I can help you with, don't hesitate to reach out.
Thanks, Chastity. Thanks for listening. The Marketing and Other Markets podcast is proudly supported by Neighborhood Loans and Treadstone Funding. Visit them online to see a new type of culture and energy in home lending. For more actionable real estate marketing tips and tricks, check out my book, The Tangible Action Guide for Real Estate Marketing, available on Amazon. Interested in being on the show? Reach out to us via Instagram at MattMuskett88. See you next time.